The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back. Final hour has arrived, and we look forward to talking to you throughout this hour. It's been a busy show with a lot of really fantastic guests, including John Ruiz, the Miami billionaire. Yes, billionaire, who has turned a lot of the college sports world upside down with his contributions to athletes in Coral Gables. Let's get back to the calls here, and Bubba is up next. Hey, Bubba.
How's it going, Paul?
Bubba, we are doing great.
Hey, I've got to agree with you on all of this stuff. I really like Legend's comments, and I like to hear his opinions on stuff, but I've got to lean more toward you. The only thing I see really changed in college football is perception. The perception of it is basically that it's out of control with this money. But you nailed it. It's always been about the money. But would you rather get it in a McDonald's bag, or would you rather sign an appearance contract to make, you know, 12 appearances next year?
I mean, the cheating's always been there. Jimbo Fisher was on here a couple of months ago, and he said what we're doing now is just legal. But this is nothing new, and most of the NIL really serves a good purpose. The things that are getting the attention of the media are the blatant cheating and tampering in the portal, because that's really where the action is right now.
Yeah, and it's all about perception. But even like they were talking about Purdue and Vanderbilt, if they did away with the football program, that's not going to stop them from packing Neyland Stadium on Saturday night.
It'll have no effect on them. And the problem is you have a lot of weak teams, but that's not my problem. Vanderbilt hasn't won a conference game in 2 years. So if you're a Vanderbilt fan, what are you yearning for, the glory days when you won two conference games?
Even the NASCAR comparison. I've been to Bristol Motor Speedway when you couldn't get a ticket a year ahead of time. And then I've seen it empty. I've never seen Neyland Stadium empty, seen them giving away tickets just to have a crowd.
Yeah, I think it was Talladega, maybe last week or the week before. Talladega announced they had 75,000 people there. I remember when I first started covering NASCAR in the 80s, I mean, there could be as many as 200,000 people there.
Yeah, it's insane what NASCAR did to themselves, but in retrospect, college football, it's just following modern times, and we just have to accept that. And the perception is changing, and we just have to – sometimes you got to break some eggs to make an omelet.
I agree. I am sympathetic to the change. A lot of people out there are having a hard time with it, but I also know that there will be millions of people watching on the first Saturday night of the season. Cat Daddy. Actually, I'll get him on eventually. Cat Daddy.
Big Bo, you looking good, sounding good. Hope you enjoyed the good last couple of weeks I hadn't talked to you. But look at here, I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he talked about the license and these kids are going to have. And I've made this point before. You have four or five youngins on a football team making all the money, and the rest of them ain't going to be getting that. How long before you think there's going to be some backlash?
Oh, it won't be long. There will be backlash, but so what?
Yeah, but if I'm an offensive lineman and I'm protecting a quarterback who's getting $1 million from some fast food restaurant and I ain't getting a dime, I ain't too sure I want to block with him that much. I mean, there's going to be some animosity because these are young kids. They're not adults.
Well, that's part of life. In every office building in this country, I dare say there's somebody sitting in an office that makes a lot of money and others don't. But you have to be collaborative if you want to be part of the team. And if that offensive lineman doesn't want to block for the quarterback, I suggest he find somewhere else to go. Thank you for the call. Chad is up next in Georgia. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Paul. I've been calling ever since you started this show, really.
Thank you.
And it's my first time calling this year. And, yeah, I appreciate it. And I just wanted to say, first off, that was a great conversation between you and Legend, and I think it was about an hour ago. But anyway, I was going to ask you about Stetson Bennett. Have you ever noticed a quarterback? I'm 30 years old, and I've never seen a quarterback with that much experience. I mean, didn't he start when Kirby Smart started and knows the playbook as good as he does? I mean, have you ever known a quarterback like that?
No, I think he is he's clearly an outlier. I've never heard a story like Stetson Bennett's.
And, yeah, it was crazy that him and Kirby started at the same time. I mean, that's what really is, you know, a lot of people don't realize. But, yeah, he's been there for so long. I just don't know a story like you're saying. I don't know anybody that's been there that long and probably knows the playbook as good as he does, you know.
Well, I think that's one reason why he did so well last year. He had experience and he was calm. Davis is in Wisconsin. Hello, Davis.
Yes, sir. G/D, Father, my one wish is to make sense of the Mississippi State schedule with the emphasis on the LSU game.
What puzzles you the most about the schedule? When we call the schedule up, the LSU game is the third. Oh, I see what you're talking about here. Okay. So you're saying it comes after a road trip out west.
To Arizona, yes. Yeah. Just thinking, you know, like Abbott and Costello, because we had a good game there 2 years
ago. Yeah, I would agree with you. And I don't know what went into that, but if I remember correctly, the LSU-Mississippi State game is usually early in the schedule. So you'd probably have to blame the person that made the schedule, which would be the athletic director, why he opted for the Arizona home and home. It really does you – I mean, Arizona is not exactly a named school. So what value do you get by going all the way out there?
Yeah, so how do you think we're going to do this year?
I think better than last year, but I still don't think that schedule is very tricky, as you could see a minute ago. And I think 7-8 wins seems to be about the high side of the ledger. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Good to hear from you. How about Steven up next? Hello, Steven. Go right ahead.
Hey, hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm just calling. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I didn't really care for you when it was just a newspaper columnist, but since you started the show, I've been a long-time listener.
Thank you. I don't
call very often. I don't have the secret number to get in. But come on now. I enjoy sports talk radio. It's become more, let's bash each other, you know, bad-mouthing. Jim no longer even talks about sports. Why is he on Sports Talk Radio? Go on Maury Povich or go on Jerry Springer.
Not a bad idea. well, first of all, I appreciate your support and calling all these many, many years. I do. I would say if your criticism is valid some nights, other nights it's not. I don't think we've had a single caller the entire show, and we are now sitting at 3 hours and 10 minutes that has raised his voice. We've had 5 or 6 guests. I think it's been a very substantive night. So I think it all depends on what night you're listening. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We head to the break. More of your phone calls, more guests. We continue here on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
SEC Now, all week, starting tonight from the SEC Softball Tournament in Gainesville. And we're back. Great to have you here. And let's check out Denver. Landon, I'm sorry, in Tennessee. Hello, Landon. Go right ahead.
Oh, yes, I'm glad for you taking my call today, Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you.
I was just wanting to ask if you, what you thought, and if you thought that Coach Heupel had the Tennessee Volunteers program headed in the right direction.
Most certainly, Landon. I think he was the best of the new coaches last year, and I think he did the most with what he had. And he didn't have very much. I think the season was remarkable, and I frankly think with Hendon Hooker and some more players coming back, he has a chance to get off to a really fast start here. I think Tennessee, should it beat Florida, could rush out to a 4-0 record, which would be fabulous, especially with LSU and Alabama coming up next. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Rob is in Indy. Rob, go right ahead.
Brother Paul, how are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Good. Long-time listener, long-time reader, first-time caller. I used to listen to read to you when we were headed down to play Millsaps College or Birmingham Southern. So,
well, thank you.
Appreciate you taking my call. My question is, I feel like that NIL is long gone and that toothpaste isn't going back in the tube. But what they have to get their hands around is the transfer for a portal. Do you think that down the road we get ourselves in a situation where maybe kids can't accept NIL money until they're enrolled in school? Which brings me to my next question. How far away are we from a kid who's going to hold out because he doesn't have enough NIL money, but he's enrolled in school and on an athletic tender? And what do you think that these teams are going to do in those situations? I'll hang up a little.
Yeah, Rob, everything you've laid out there is a possibility. We saw the situation a couple of weeks ago at Miami. You had a basketball player who came in, got NIL money, and then you had a player on the team who said, you know what, I'm out of here unless I get more. Yeah, I thought we went through last season with remarkably few problems. I'm not sure I heard of any problems because it was so new. And quite frankly, virtually nobody was making much money. On most teams, you had about 25% of the players making anything, and most of them were not making very much. This year will be completely different. And I think that's why everyone is talking about it. Thank you for the call. Very much appreciative. Let's check in with Dave, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Listen a lot. Loving the salt life down here at the beach.
Thank you.
Anyway, the reason I called, two or three quick points. I was a college athlete, and I went to Florida State, but I high school in West Virginia, and Coach B recruited me, along with, you might know, Tommy Pridemore.
Sure.
I played against him. And I go down to Florida State. I kind of made the staff mad the way it turned out. And then, lo and behold, he comes down to the Seminoles. And after spring ball, it was, come on in, son. We're going in a different direction. You want me to call Marshall? And that's where I ended up. All my people are from West Virginia. And these people need to know, these are one-year contracts. A coach can pull that contract anytime he wants. So these kids, if they want to transfer out, should have no problem. But people need to know what goes on. And the NIL, the second point real quick, is college football is nothing but the minor leagues for the NFL. And why these ADs and presidents don't get together and say, look, donate some money so all these student athletes can get, $100 a month or whatever. I got two granddaughters playing softball, one at my alma mater and the other one down at those low-life Gators. And I send them, Grandpa, does that thing. But these kids, some of these kids come from poor, they don't have enough for a pizza. And why the NFL, they get all of our product, you know, why hasn't somebody brought that up?
Well, those are all very, very good questions. Thank you for the call. Let me check in with Ron, who is in Ocala. Hello, Ron. Go right ahead.
Paul, man, how you been, bro? I love you, man.
Ron, thank you.
Doing good.
Really good to hear from you. Thank you.
Man, I'm great. I've been doing good. But listen, man, I've been listening, and I'm just getting a little bit teased here, man, because it seems like history is repeating itself again. This is the same scenarios we had back in the day, Paul, when I used to talk to you, and I know we had the bad light with the bad coaching or whatever, and so now I see that we're doing the same thing over again. I see that you guys are assuming that Florida is not going to go ahead and take care of the East outside of Georgia, and that's just ridiculous. Well, what we got going on with AR over there, come on now. Let's get back to reality. Tennessee is not ready yet, and neither is Kentucky. I'm sorry. I know what happened last year, but come on, let's wake up. Let's wake up. It's still Florida.
Ron, I know we heard from Barrett Salee earlier, who's very high on Florida. I guess I just need to see it. I will say this. I think Richardson is a phenomenal player. I don't think Florida in any way was as bad as the record last year. I mean, I was down in Gainesville. I saw that Alabama game. I saw how close they came to pulling that off.
Absolutely not. I'm so sad for my brother, Mullen, because he's a brother. He's still family. But, like, sometimes, and I hate to say this, you know, pride or whatever you want to call it, it gets ahead of us. Listen, you still got Joe. These kids are five-star kids. You got to put them on the field. You have to be smarter than that in those situations. And it wasn't just that. It was all the other stuff from the year before, all the debacles he had on all the games when he dropped the LSU game and this and that. Listen, I'm telling you now, if y'all are thinking y'all about to run over Florida, you got another thing coming, because I guarantee you we'll be right back lining up with Georgia. And, Paul, if you don't believe me, with Tennessee, we can go ahead and put back on the jersey again. We can do it. And tell Darryl, if it wasn't for that receiver going out, he already know what the puppies is like. So stop barking online and all of that. I'm still the Don around here.
Well, one thing that hasn't changed, Ron, is as a Florida fan, your attitude is the same as it's always been, regardless of the record. I appreciate and applaud that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's continue. Denver is up next in Florida. Hello, Denver.
Hi, Paul. This is Denver. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm right there with Ron. I'm a big Gator. And I was looking in Todd McShay's top draft class next year, top five quarterbacks, and they got Anthony Richardson as the third quarterback coming out. And even as a Gator, I know I feel like he's going to be pretty good, but really the question for me to you is, how good do you think he will be this year coming in with a lot of receivers we lost in the transfer portal?
You know, I don't know enough about what that team is going to look like, but as great as he is, you just nailed it. If he doesn't have the support around him, then it won't make any difference. Just because you're projected to go high in the NFL draft doesn't mean your record is going to be good. So I need to see that first game against Utah. I think that's a real bellwether for the Gators. And I expect good things from him, but it's a hard question to answer because there's so many moving parts, and who really knows what the Gators are going to look like?
Yeah, the way he got kind of thrown to the dogs last year in the Georgia game, and I just felt like that was kind of a hard first game for him, but it looked good against South Florida. And I'm not as high as other Florida fans around me are yet because I just haven't seen enough of him, but I'm right there with you. I mean, I just don't want to overhype him.
I think the mock drafts are really deleterious to him because now the expectations are, hey, we're going to be great. I know how good he can be. I remember sitting there with Tebow last year on the morning of the Alabama game, and you know he was hurt, of course. But I mean, Tebow was telling me that you know he'd been on the practice field with him countless times, and He may be as good as anybody that's ever played there. Now, that's saying a great deal.
I'm right there with you. I just wanted to call and get your thoughts on it, Paul. I appreciate you accepting my call. And
let me go back to a conversation we had here about 2 hours ago when Barrett Salih felt like the Gators could be that next team after Alabama, Georgia. He had Ole Miss in there, but he thinks the Gators won't be far behind. The schedule's tricky, but you could say that about almost every or any school in the SEC, but I don't think Florida got any favors by having Utah at the first game. I would have much rather seen a directional school so they can get things in motion, maybe relax a little bit, and then play a named team in the second or third week. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. Let's check out Kudzu, who is up next. Hello, Kudzu. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
Last time I called you was when the Supreme Court took a sledgehammer to Mark Emmert's kneecaps.
That was a great day.
And we see how that turned out.
Remember it well. It was a bellwether day in the history of mankind.
He's got no leadership. The NCAA's always been feckless. And it's like trying to herd cats with all these presidents and ADs. And they needed somebody who had a strong personality, a strong vision. And Mark Emmert certainly was not that guy. And the second observation I'd say, Paul, is no one's really talking about it. But other than the schools that are like Ivy League schools that support Olympic sports and support the minor sports, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The money's there. Football's going. Basketball's going. But the reality is you thought Title IX was bad when wrestling teams and baseball teams folded up the tent stakes in some of these smaller schools. You're going to see it in the next 2 or 3 years because the financing's just not going to be there. The cash cow now is going to be NIL, bringing these players in, financing the operation, and there's going to be very little money for a lot of these schools to keep the baseball, wrestling, or soccer team on the men's side. It's just a fact. And I can see it coming down, and no one's really talking about it. And I feel sorry for those people because at the end of the day, I was a D2 player. My son was a D1 player on a non-revenue generating sport. And you got to do it more for the love of the game than anything else because you're not getting the money that everybody else is going
to
get.
Kudzu, I hate to run, but we are really late on the break. Thank you very, very much. We're heading to a break. We still have 30 minutes remaining. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. We have women's softball tonight from Gainesville. The SEC tournament is about to begin. Let's send it down there to Alyssa and the crew as the tournament just moments away. Alyssa, take it away.
We are gearing up for a great week here in Gainesville, Florida. Katie Cecil Presley Stadium, site of the 2022 SEC softball tournament. We've got one game going down tonight, starting things out for us between the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Texas A&M Aggies. The head coaches exchanging some hugs before they kick this tournament off, and the teams are warming up in ways that only softball squads can. Put a little hacky sack here on a warm day in Gainesville. We'll see what this game one looks like as we are taking you up to 7 o'clock when this one will get underway here from Florida. Welcome into the set. We're going to be tied here all week long. I'm Alyssa Lang. Tori Vidal is Kayla Bro. Madison Shipman, you guys ready for a big week?
I'm so ready.
Oh, my goodness.
We've been waiting all year.
We really have. We've been counting down from when we were in Tuscaloosa this time last year, crowning a champion. The Florida Gators hoping to make it 2 host schools in a row, hoisting that SEC tournament championship. Tori, let's start with you. On the desk, welcome to the squad.
Thank
What's
you.
Tournament week like for you?
Oh, well, usually it consists of me sitting at home watching you guys on TV, and now I feel so honored to be here up at the table talking some good softball.
How exciting is this time of year, Kayla?
It's the best time of year, and these teams, they're going to lay it all out on the line. It's win or go home, and it just gets you so prepped and ready to go for postseason for the NCAA tournament, and this is a big stage, and I can tell you right now, you're not going to find a conference tournament better than this one, Madison.
I don't know about you guys, but this was always my favorite time of the year because we were done with finals and we got to feel like professional softball players for the postseason. Everybody spending all this time together competing out there on the field for a championship doesn't get better than that.
Maddie said, I was ready when I could stop doing homework.
Basically, that's what I said.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No surprise at all. We're very excited to be here in the postseason, but guys, this has been an insane, crazy, all over the place regular season. The bracket wasn't actually set until just a few days ago, the final day of regular season play. Maddie, how would you describe what we saw during the regular season?
Absolute chaos. I can't remember a last time where it actually came down to the very last pitch thrown in the regular season to figure out where everybody was going to shake out. In the past, it was always kind of, you had an idea who was going to be at the top, who was going to be at the bottom. But truly, 2 through 9 spots this year in the SEC came down to the last pitch thrown on Sunday.
And I think that credits the offenses in this league because, you know, the pitching is good, but the hitters are what set this league apart. And just 1 through 13 in this league, everybody can play, everybody can swing it, and you just never know who's going to win on any given day. And in 9 times out of 10, it's because of the performances in the batter's box, Tori.
Yeah, and on top of that, we're seeing a lot of matchups that are just fresh off of the last series of conference. You see LSU, Mississippi State, they just came off a series, Georgia, Ole Miss, so it's going to be interesting to see in the 4th game of their series how it's going to end up.
One team we had absolutely no doubt about coming into this tournament was Arkansas, outright SEC champions of the regular season. They came into Sunday knowing they were that number 1 seed, but we wanted to talk about last year's Arkansas team versus this year's Arkansas team. Kayla, what do you see being a big difference?
Yeah, I look at last year's team and they were good. They could hit the long ball just like this year's team can, but the difference is all of the batting averages 1 through 9 are up this season. They just are more consistent, and then you add the impact player like a KB sides at the top of the lineup. That's the catalyst that, in my opinion, is the best player in conference play, the best player in the league this year. What she's been able to do to set the table at the top has been the difference and why they've been able to win some more games this year, but I think to be that more complete team.
Yeah, and talking about complete, Lenny Malkin is another one who last year you heard about her, but wasn't necessarily hitting for much average, more so power numbers. And she came back this year saying, I want to be able to hit for average and power. I want to make a big contribution to this team. And that's what she's done. She's come in, really been able to raise that average and stay consistent with the power numbers.
Yeah, Lenny said she really worked a lot with Coach Michael on her mindset and her approach, not just going up there to swing and put a ball in play, but to see what pitches she could swing at to put a ball in play with authority. So that's why we're still seeing those power numbers, but also that increase in batting average consistency as well. And of course, we got to talk in the circle for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got to talk about Mary Half and Shanice Dells and the job that they've been able to do all season long. I think we all knew coming into this season that Mary Half was going to be awesome because she always is. But them being able to add Shanice that has that hard drop ball that, of course, you know, she learned in one day, no big deal. But they complement each other so well that I think it makes it really difficult for offenses to prepare for them.
And I think what sets Shanice Dells apart from maybe a Mary Half and a lot of other pitchers in this league is that she came in new. She came in as a transfer. This is her first year in the SEC. Not a lot of teams knew her. So she had the ability not only to add that drop to kind of make her game a little bit more well-rounded out, but nobody knew her coming in, and she just came in and surprised a lot of people.
It's like being a freshman all over again. Nobody knows anything about you. But when we were talking to Coach Dyfel, you know, she said, yes, she has the drop ball, but she also has a really good rise ball. So if teams do jump on that drop ball expecting to see that out of her, she can go right back upstairs and throw a pitch from knees to about forehead. and she can still strike you out with a rise ball. So really, it just depends on which day you're going to get her and what you're going
to
see.
We know those are two pitchers, two players specifically, who need to have a big week if Arkansas wants to hoist that tournament championship. But let's run through some other stars that you guys are expecting big things from. Maddie, who's another player that has to have a big week if their team wants to make it to the championship?
You know, the hitter in me is, of course, going to stay in the circle, because I always feel like it comes down to which pitcher has the hot hand at the end of the year. And so I'm looking at somebody like Montana Fouts. And what we loved about her last year was that she continued to get better as the season went on. And I think that people are a little bit more familiar with her this year. We've seen some other teams put up some runs against her. But this past weekend against Missouri, she got better throughout the weekend. And she threw 300 pitches, and she kept getting stronger.
Okay, well, you talked about pitchers. I got to throw it back to a hitter. And, you know, I want to see somebody like a Lacey Fincher from Georgia. It's her fifth year. It's her final year playing in this tournament. I think she's got to go out with a bang, hit a couple home runs, set the tone for that Georgia offense, because if they want to win, they got to score a lot of runs. So I'm circling that player if Georgia wants to make a run in this tournament.
I got to agree with Maddie. I'm going to go with the pitching side just today, but I really do want to see Ashley Rogers from Tennessee in the circle, coming out hot with sharp stuff. She has been complimented really well this season by Aaron Edmondson, very crafty, spinny, really snaps those pitches and keeps hitters off balance. And then Ashley Rogers comes in, power. I want to see some strikeouts.
Some high expectations for our stars across the SEC. We're just getting started here in Gainesville, Florida. We are here all week long. We have so many snacks in the back to keep us fueled and ready. You knew we were getting there first. But first, we got to get you to A&M South Carolina, coming up from Florida here in just a few minutes. These two teams did not face off in the regular season, and A&M still winless in SEC tournament games. Sorry, Tori. We'll see if they can change that tonight. Paul, back over to you.
And thank you very much. And we'll be going back to Gainesville in about 20 minutes. First, let's go to Handsome. After all those women, to go to Handsome Joe next. Hello, Joe. Good afternoon.
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum, and hey, that's only natural. I mean, that's only natural.
Are you doing better today? I was worried. I went home last night worried about you.
I am, Paul. I'm a lot better today. I had some, somebody I didn't know, we had a bad accident this morning. One of our elementary school teachers had a wreck, and her four-year-old daughter her daughter in the fourth grade didn't make it.
Oh, my.
And so that's, you know, here at Red Bay, you know, elementary school, so that's a bad thing for the town. But yeah, I'm doing a lot better today. But I want to talk about actually sports in this NIL today. And Legend was right. And I just want to add to that, Paul, as far as these, you know, schools getting weaker, they've already been weak, Paul. I mean, in Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, we can't get these schools are still going to get ball players. I mean, because there are just so many athletes out there, and it ain't really going to change. You know, maybe they need to make some different leagues, you know, like Division II-A, maybe expand those or something. Because, you know, the rich is just staying rich anyhow. So it's not really affecting anybody. And this guy that said that somebody may not want to block, hey, Paul, it's like in high school. Your quarterback, his daddy could own half the town and be the richest man in town, but every ball player on that team going to block, hit, and do it, you know, because it's just, they're athletes. That's what they do. I mean, everybody in the NFL team don't make the same amount of money. Some makes more than others. That's just part of life. But, you know, it ain't really going to affect nothing. But I think it's good for these players to finally legally, you know, get them some endorsement monies. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, they putting their life out there on, you know, they're risking serious injuries on a lot of plays. And this is from high school, well, maybe not high school, but every college out there, Paul. I mean, you know, they deserve the right to do that, whether it's UNA up here in Florence, Alabama. You know, if it's a local, you know, store or, you know, restaurant wants to sponsor them, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that ain't going to take away from these other schools. Yeah, we may get a better player from another school, but we've been doing this through history anyhow. I mean, so it's really not going to change.
Well, Joe, hey, let me say this. I'm really glad to hear you're doing better. I just looked at the time, and we are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.